Why do you go to church? Hallelujah. You go to church to get closer to God. Amen. You get closer to God. You go to church for your brothers and your sisters, for fellowship, because you are the church. Say that with me. You are the church. Hallelujah. Stand. Good morning, church. Jesus taught us how to pray according to the book of Matthew. Let's pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. With me, responsive reading, Psalm 31. Thank you, Lord. Be merciful to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My eyes grow weak with sorrow, my soul and my body with grief. Because of all my enemies, I am the utter contempt of my neighbors. I am a dread to my friends. Those who see me on the street flee from me. For I hear the slander of many. There is terror on every side. They conspire against me and plot to take my life. Read that again for me, but I trust in you. Could you read that together? But I trust in you, O Lord, I say. You are my God. My times are in your hands. Deliver me from my enemies and from those who pursue me. Praise God. Psalm 31. How's everybody this morning? It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood, amen? Praise God. Testimony today, I want to give God praise and glory. 3 years and 3 months ago, my wife and I moved into this little cottage up in Southbury. Unbeknownst to us that the landlord, was a psychologist known all over the world, written many books about psychology, about health, about counseling. He's counseled many people that we met along the way after we moved in said, I know Dr. Houle. Oh, he helped me with my marriage. Oh, I know Dr. Houle. He helped me with what I was going through. And the more I come to realize that God put me there so I could talk to this man, and I had a talk with him this week. And we talked about depression. And he said, depression is an emotion. It's an emotion. Just like joy. Just like when you're the happiest or you're the saddest, he said. And there's so many ways to treat it. But he's not one that believes that you treat it with medicine. He treats it with the mind. He said, it's in the mind. And we talked about that for a while. And then I finally said, I see it. I've heard experts talk about it this week. And I heard people say, well, you have to have this in your life, and you have to have this, and you have to have a focus. And they kept leaving out one thing, Miss Pat, they kept leaving out one thing. They kept, and I'm talking to the psychologist, and I said to him, yes, doctor, but they leave out the first thing. They leave out God. God. They leave out Jesus. And as a scientist, as somebody who studies, you can't study the whole and leave one thing out. You can't get the answer. You can't. With Jesus, everything is possible. Amen? Jesus takes us from the darkness. Amen? Jesus is the light that we reach for. Amen? And as we talked about that, he said to me, exactly, you have to have the spiritual along with the depression. He said, sometimes it's the drugs they take, or the alcohol that enhances it. He said, but it's still an emotion that just overtakes you. Amen? But with Jesus is the way through. And I believe this, and I'm telling you now, I'm telling you as your pastor, that if you really truly love God, you really truly talk to Jesus in the times of your deepest despair, the last thing you want to do is give up. Amen? You got to know that there's hope for something. Hope for a cure. Maybe some of you got a bad news from a doctor and you want to give up. You say, wait a minute. Maybe next year there'll be a cure for what I'm going through. Amen? That's the hope to continue. Amen? As believers in Jesus, as believers in the God of this Bible, you don't quit. Say that with me. You don't quit. Now, we don't judge. Please, brothers and sisters, don't judge anybody who has. And we all know people who have. I know two people that did that. I know. And I love them with all my heart. And my heart aches because they thought that was the end. And that was their choice to make, to end. Amen? And it hurts my heart because if they knew God, if they just knew Jesus, that one little sliver of light would be there, that they would reach for that. Amen? And not all religions teach you that. Not all churches teach you that. Amen? They want to keep you in bondage to them. They don't want to tell you that you can go outside and get saved by the Lord. Amen? They don't want to tell you that you're free to talk to Him. Amen? You don't got to go through somebody else to talk to Him. Amen? And God is real. And I saw it all week long on TV. I'm praying. I saw all these experts and I'm saying, please mention the Lord. Please mention Jesus. Please mention, at least mention that you got to get a spiritual uplifting to get through the darkness. Amen? Amen. Yet they didn't. I talked to Dr. Houle. I want him to come here someday. I want to ask you as a congregation, would you feel on a Sunday if we invited Dr. Houle to come here and talk to you from psychology, just so you understand where he's coming from and hear a man who's just absolutely brilliant. I sat in his office for 30 minutes the other night and I thought, man, what a blessing. He's my landlord. He's my friend. They came to see us Friday night. That was the group of people said. They came to see our music Friday night. These are beautiful but brilliant people, and I know that God sent me there and sent us there to live there, to be around Him, so I could be with somebody who could teach me. Amen? And when I I just pray that people learn that it's about God. You got to put Him first. Amen? You can't add Him in later. You got to put Him in first, because that could be the thing that saves you. Amen? That could be the thing that lifts you out of the despair to make you think you want to do something like that to yourself, to your life, to your family, what you leave behind, and the pieces that they got to put together and they got to pick up. Amen? With Jesus gives you a light. He gives you strength. I want you to have more strength. Let me tell you, I've been depressed, and I know you all have. Everybody, we go through stuff. I lost my mom. I lost my dad, my brother, other things in my life. When you lost the relationships, when your children are hurting, you get hurt inside. Amen? When you think somebody came against you that was your friend, you get hurt inside. But you got to fight through it. Amen? Because God's got an answer for that. If somebody comes against you, He's got an answer for that. Amen? When you get bad news, God's got an answer for that. Amen? We had a memorial service here last November for somebody that I loved with all my heart. Mary, Joe. And folks left here saying that was a celebration. And it wasn't me, it was God. Amen? He even gives you a celebration in the times of greatest despair. And when you find that celebration, then you realize, I don't want to go anywhere without Him. Amen? And I just wanted, that's my testimony today for God, for Jesus. I want to tell you that He is the truth, the life, and the way. And there is hope with Him. And when there's hope, you always reach for it. Amen? And it's got to be God first. And I pray the world get that. Just wanted to share that with you. If you could just play a little bit, Joanne, and we'll just pray. Hallelujah. Just pray that the Lord, just Lord, thank You. That they would come to know You. Stop looking to other men for the answers. Stop looking for people who's got an agenda for answers. Just one-on-one with Jesus, Lord, changes a life. It changes one life at a time. And when somebody tastes that God is good, that God is real, He really answers. They got to tell somebody, whether it be their husband or their wife or their family, their friends. And if that person would just taste the water and see, that changes another life and another life and another life. Until a city is cleaned and healed. Until a state is healed. Until the country becomes healed under the Lord. With God, nothing is impossible. With God, nothing is impossible. So why wouldn't you want that God in your life? For peace, for joy, for love. Nothing is impossible. We don't give up. We give in to Him. We surrender ourselves to Him. And when you surrendered yourself to Him, you can't do other than what He wants and needs you to do. And then you're on the road to absolute healing and recovery. That's why you come to church. That's why you read the Word. That's why you get fed something positive and good that's real from Him. From Him first. He's blessed you with so much in your lives. So many things you've forgotten about that He did for you. We're going to read it today. We're going to take you on a trip today. I pray your hearts be open, ears be open, because I'm going back to the beginning of the Bible. And instead of Abraham's name, I'm going to use your name. I'm going to put you there so you understand where you stand with the Lord and the blessings that are waiting for you. To be stronger in God, not in people, not in a church, not in a religion, but you and God stronger together. We're changing hearts. We see it. You're changing hearts and families. You see it. In this church, your church. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise and glory in this church. Let it shake the church. And it's the people you have around you. How many know the people around you, amen, can keep you strong, amen? And the people around you can make you weak. How many know that? You're around people who swear all the time. What are you going to do? I know you're going to do. You're going to start talking like they are. And if they start doing something, you're going to start, they're going to pull you astray, amen? And let me tell you, it's easy to pull somebody down, amen? I just wanted, before I get started, you see this Derek Jeter? He's here and everybody enjoys that. But you know what Derek Jeter said in a documentary I just saw on TV? His two best friends on the New York Yankees, Mariano Rivera, Jorge Posada, also Andy Pettit. Three guys, three brothers in Christ. Mariano has retired. You know what he's doing? He's building churches. He wants to pastor. Mariano's going back to Panama, building churches. He built a church in New York. Andy Pettit and his wife have been going to church since I ever heard his name. He's a Christian brother. And Jorge Posada and his wife stayed close to Derek. He said they were around him. They wouldn't let him do some of the things you see some of those other people doing. Amen? They wouldn't let him. Every time he turned to the left or right, I'm sure they said, Derek, over here. Besides his mother and his father who raised him to understand. Amen? But it's the people around him. He made $20 million a year. He didn't need anybody. Amen? He didn't need anybody telling him. But they still pulled him. And they kept him straight. And the respect that he's getting in the sports world is because of the person he is, not the player he is. Amen? He just puts numbers on the board. It's the person. Everybody says, I'd like my son to be like him. I'd like my son to play like him, to talk like him. Amen? It's because of the people he kept himself surrounded with, too. Are you with me? All right. Brother Frank, welcome. We're going to go to Genesis 12. Art. Instead of Abraham, it's Art in the book right here. Brother Fred, it's you instead of Abraham. Y'all know what the wilderness is? A wilderness is to each of us a different place. Hallelujah. Job, sickness, relationship. When you're out of your comfort zone, you're in the wilderness. Amen? Maybe you got a bad report from a doctor and you're in the wilderness now because you don't know what to do. Maybe you had a problem with your job and you're in the wilderness because you don't know what to do. Maybe a relationship. You understand? The wilderness is a place out of your comfort zone that you don't know how to handle. You've never been there before, but you know one thing, you need help. Amen? Out of your comfort zone. In a place where God alone can show you the way. In a place where you will say, God, don't fail me now. That's the wilderness. Hallelujah. Any situation in your life that causes you to stop and realize you can't handle it alone. Amen? Let me tell you about God. He wants to prove His word to you, Elaine. He wants to prove His word to you, David, and the only way He can prove it is if you believe. He cannot, listen to me, He cannot prove His word to unbelievers. So if you talk to somebody who's an unbeliever, don't even expect to get the response because they don't believe. So whatever you tell them about God, they don't believe it. You can't prove it to them because they don't believe, but you're believers. He said, I can prove my word to you. Hallelujah. The first thing you must do is believe, and we all know we believe, that He hears. Y'all believe that He hears you when you pray, amen? Y'all believe that He can. He can do what you ask Him to do, amen? And that He will. You get those three things in your heart, you start with that, and then He can prove His word to you. And this is, listen to this. Every day that He doesn't answer your prayer, Dale, every day. Every day that goes by, Greg, that He doesn't answer, you should get more excited. You know why? Because you're a day closer. You're a day closer to Him answering your prayer. You understand? You should get more excited. Say, you know, this is a new day. He didn't answer me yesterday, but I know He's going to. So today I'm really excited because I know He hears and I know He answers my prayer. Amen? That's walking with the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, let's see. Brother Art. God said, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. So what's he talking about? Get out of my, get away from my family, get away from my friends. Let me tell you why he said that. Perhaps he said that. Maybe because his family and friends were unbelievers. Anybody got any friends that are unbelievers? Anybody? You tell them you go to church, what do they do?
Church.
It's Sunday, it's my day off. Maybe the unbelievers were filled with doubt. Maybe his family wanted to believe, but they doubted. Maybe they were confused. How many friends and family refuse to believe? How many are even a part of a church? They're just concerned with today. They laugh at you. He told Abraham to get away from them, not forever, but for a season. He said, because I need you to be around believers. I need you to get away from the confusion. So he's telling you today, Art, get away from the confusion. He's telling you today, David, just get away from the confusion. That's what he's saying to you. That's we're right here in Genesis 12. We're talking about today, amen, 2014, and I'm going back thousands of years in this book, showing you how this book today works in 2014. Are you with me? Then he says, listen, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. The first two words of the next two lines are, I will. Say that with me. God is saying, I will. George, he's not saying, you will. Pat, he's not saying, you will. He said, you follow me and I will. I will what? He said, follow me and people will see what you're doing. He said that. He said, people will see what you're doing and you follow me and they'll see your strength. And then the people, you follow me and they'll see your change. They'll see the person you are. And then you follow me and they'll see your blessings. He said that right here. He said, I will bless you. I will make you a great nation. You follow God and all of a sudden other people say, boy, I like being with Jim Howe. He says, I want to spend more time with him. He talks about God. I want to be around him because I can see God blessing him. I can see a joy and I want to be around the joy. How many like to be around people who are joyful? Hallelujah. And how many of those friends you're thinking about follow God? I bet a lot of them. The trust in God. Right here in 12, it said, right here in the beginning. And you shall be a blessing. What does that mean? Joe, you know what that means? You shall bless other people. You ever thought of that? You're believers, amen? You're healers in the Word. You bring it. So you're going to be a blessing to other people. Not only do people not want to be around you, but you're also going to bless them. It's right here. You follow God. You get into that wilderness, amen? We're going to get to that. You start to follow God. You start to talk about God. All of a sudden, your children have itchy ears. What God did for you? Really? And then they see that your life, even though sometimes you're in a despair, you're walking through it. They say, how'd you do that, Dad? How'd you do that, Mom? And they want that. And so you give them that strength. And guess what? You start blessing them. Amen? So if you start blessing them, what are they going to do? Bless other people. Are you with me? Listen to what God says to Art in 12:3. I will bless those who bless you. So somebody's nice to Art because he's following God and he's all, and guess what God said? I'm going to bless that person too. I don't even know who he is, but if he's nice to you, God said, now who wouldn't want that? Amen? Brother Phil, you'd want that. He said, I'm going to bless you because you blessed my friend Art, my friend Jim. Amen? This is God. This isn't your pastor. I'm reading right out of the book here. And listen to what he says. You got folks who have come against you and anybody ever felt that you were mistreated by anybody or abused by anybody in your life? You think you got people around you who are just coming against you over and over again? You're in the wilderness now and you're trusting God. Listen to what he said. I will curse him who curses you. He will do. Who's going to do it? Yeah. You don't have to do it, do you? In fact, you're not supposed to do it, are you? He didn't tell you you would do it. He said he would what? He would do it. Amen. You got folks coming against you, taking advantage of you. Maybe they're stealing from you. Maybe they're hurting your feelings. Maybe they're hurting your pride. God said, yeah, you just stand back and you pay attention because I'm going to take care of those people who are coming against you. Those unbelievers, amen, who don't want to believe in the Word of God. And listen, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Let me read that again. God is saying to Art, in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And you say to yourself, well, how can I bless the whole earth? Because it starts with you, right, Chuck? It started with you, Chuck. You started talking about God to somebody, and they started catching on. Maybe one person out of 100, but who cares? That's one person more, amen? And that person talks to 100. Maybe he gets 3 people, amen? And then those 3 people talk to 100 people. And they, see what you've started? And you started it because you're walking with who? According to Genesis, right in the beginning of the book.
people say, well, that book is obsolete. Let me tell you, 2014, amen. I'm in the beginning right here.
Hallelujah. Because of you and your faithfulness, you will bless others, family, friends, and all you do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Those who come against you shall be turned away. Hallelujah. Okay, so what happens now? What do we do now? All right. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him. And Lot went with him, and Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Then Abraham took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran. People were following them. See, people saw what they were doing, and they saw the goodness in Abraham, and they said, can I come? And he said, sure. So he's already changing people's lives. And the people he acquired came, and they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. Abraham passed through the land to the place of Shechem, as far as the terebinth tree of Moab, and the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, to your descendants I will give this land. And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. Has anybody ever built an altar to the Lord? You should. Whether it be a tree in the backyard, whether it be when you pull into the parking lot where you work, wherever it is that you go, that you know that you can remember, amen, you build an altar to the Lord. You don't have to get out and physically put nails and wood together. You see a tree, you walk over to that tree. I'm going to pray right here. This will be my altar to the Lord. Abraham did that. You're going to find out why, and you're going to find out the importance of it. But he decided right there, I'm going to build an altar. I'm going to pray right in this spot, and I will remember this spot that I prayed. Amen. Are you with me? He built an altar. Hallelujah. And he moved from there after, and he moved to the mountain east of Bethel. And he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. Then he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. So Abraham journeyed, going on still towards the south. He built a second altar. Amen. He didn't just get that one and just continue on. Because you don't go to one place every day, do you? You don't have one problem every day, do you? You got many problems in your heart. You got many situations. So he went to this situation. He said, well, I'm going to stay here. I'm going to build an altar right here. And then he traveled on and he said, okay, I'm landed here. I don't know where I am. I don't know what I'm doing. But I'm going to build an altar right here. And he built it. Amen? You got many places you can build your altars. Don't build it at home because that's your comfort zone. Amen? You go home and you forget about things. Amen? You go home and you got to do the dishes, or you got to do some cooking, or you got to work and you got to mow the yard. That's not a place to build your altar. Amen? You build it where you know it's just you and God, that you'll remember that that was the place you built it. Amen?
Amen.
And he did that. It could be at work, in your car. It could be a place to pray and a place to remind you that God is with you where you are in the wilderness. Say that, in the wilderness. Now remember, Abraham is in a place that he's never seen before, but he's following who? Hallelujah. I've told this story before. I went to a church for 16 years. I went to school at that church. I took correspondence courses in that church. There were 300 people every Sunday at that church. People standing up and praying and saying hallelujah with their arms lifted up high. It took me 6 months to lift my arms. 6 months. I'm thinking I'll pray like this, like I always learned to pray in at Mass and at church at St. Mary. I fold my hands and these people are standing up and they're praising. I'm thinking these people are crazy. You betcha, they're crazy for the Lord, amen? They were crazy for the Lord. It took me a while, but I like it now. And we were singing and we played music. Sometimes we did a whole thing of music and I'm playing my guitar. It was a good time. And then God, it was on my heart. And God moved me, and then God gave me a wife. He said, when you receive a wife, you receive a blessing from God, amen? The greatest gift, my wife, my love. And I was asked to come here. Is that Jesus' phone ringing? I was asked to come here. And my wife and I came to our first service here. There was how many people that day, David? Eight people. We walked in and it was really quiet. We sat back there where Doreen is sitting. We sat back there and we sat down and we looked around and we saw. And we didn't hear any laughter. We didn't hear any smiles. We didn't hear any joy.
We didn't hear any clapping. We didn't hear any talk of the Holy Spirit. We didn't hear of anybody getting anybody on fire, getting excited for the Lord. And we sat back there, and the minister who stood here, and let me tell you, he is a devoted man of God. Did you hear me? He is an absolute, his heart is to serve God. Amen. You go to him and ask him something, he'll tell you. He'll bring you to God. He'll give you peace. But he stood up here that day and he just simply read from the Bible. And he read very calmly and very beautifully. But that's what he did. And we sat there waiting to hear. And we looked at each other and we were afraid. We were afraid. We were in a wilderness. He said, God brought us here. This is where we're going to be. God brought us here to do something. And we're not going to turn around. And you know what the devil did that following week? That following week, and I'm telling Miss Pat, I got to do a confession that following week. The pastors of the church that were leaving called us in for a meeting. They said, we changed our mind. The two people that we wanted to take over Grace and Vessels, we love them, but we want you two to do it. We saw you two together, and we want you to take over the church. We want you to become the pastors of Grace and Vessels. And I looked at them and said, I made a commitment to you 16 years ago, and I was faithful 16 years in that church. I said, I made a commitment to this church in Derby. That's where we're going. That's what we're doing. I'm going to take a walk with my wife and God, and we're going to walk in faithfulness. And it's been the most beautiful journey I've been up here scared to my skin a half a thousand times. But it was a walk that I took, and my wife was right there. Thank God she was my rock, because we were scared. Amen. We were in a wilderness. We could have went back. We could have went back and just sang with the 25 people that we knew, and everything would have been fine. But no, we wanted to follow God. Amen. We followed God. That's where we wanted to be. That was the most wilderness that it was just absolutely amazing. And we've gotten a family and friends and blessings that just keep coming. Amen. Yeah, get out of your comfort zone. That's the problem with you. Okay. All right, that's good. So now he did. Now everybody did that, right? I did what God called me to do. Abraham did, right? He built the altars. Are you ready now? This is where it gets good, folks. Listen to this. 12:10, Mr. Frank. Now there was a famine in the land. Listen, God has sent Abraham. You're with me. He sent him there. Now listen, there was a famine in the land, and Abraham went down to Egypt to dwell there, for the famine was severe in the land. What? You mean I just followed God? I just did everything you said, God, and here I am, and the next thing now there's a famine? What am I? What happened? Did I mess up? What did I do? What do you mean? I'm just another attack. Amen? Wait, God, I left my home. Here I am in the wilderness. I'm doing, and now we got no food. What happened? You know, a lot of people would quit right there. Amen. A lot of people would say, God, you're just crazy. I'm going somewhere. You just left me alone. Abraham didn't do that. Amen. David didn't do that. Deacon Chuck didn't do that. Amen. There was a famine. He said, amen. Oh, Lord. What happened? Hallelujah. It came to pass when he was close to entering Egypt. Now listen. Abraham. Remember I said it could be Art, it could be you, Ed? Abraham. You think, well, he was special. Don't you do it. Don't you do it. Abraham, following God. Oh, wow, it's a famine. Oh, okay. All right, I'm going to follow you. So I'll follow him. Now, this man who's following God is about to do some things to make you realize that he's just like you and I. He's about to lie. Amen? He's about to lie to get people in trouble. He's about to fall himself and the lie. And you say, well, what's the big deal with it? That means his faith was gone. Amen? He's about to lie now. We're going to read this. You know why he did? I'll tell you why. Because he leans on his own what? Hallelujah. And it came to pass, when he was close to entering Egypt, that he said to Sarai, his wife. By the way, it's Sarai before it's Sarah. Indeed, he's saying, Sarai, Indeed, I know that you are a woman of beauty, beautiful countenance. Therefore, it will happen when the Egyptians see you that they will say, this is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will let you live. And he said, listen, I'm a little afraid now. I'm afraid my faith is a little shot. I'm just like fleshy now, and I don't know what to do, and I'm trying to follow God. He said, but here, tell him that you're my sister, that it may be well with me for your sake, and that I may live because of you. Okay, we'll just tell him that little lie. So what it was, when Abram came to Egypt, that the Egyptians saw the woman, that she was very beautiful. The princes of the Pharaoh also saw her and commended her to Pharaoh. They brought Sarah to the Pharaoh, and the woman was taken to Pharaoh's house, and he treated Abram well for her sake. And Abram had sheep and oxen and male donkeys and male and female servants, female donkeys and camels. Oh my God, they just gave him everything because his sister was so beautiful. But it wasn't his sister, was it? But the Lord, listen, I'm falling short. I don't know what you're going to do now, Lord, but the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abraham's wife. And the Pharaoh called Abraham and said, what is this you have done to me? He said, why did you not tell me that she was your wife? Why did you say she is my sister? And listen to what he said. He said, I might have taken her as my wife. Now therefore, here is your wife. Take her and go your way. So Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away with his wife and all he had. The Pharaoh is saying, are you crazy? Because he knew, you know, this Pharaoh might not have been a believer, but he understood God, amen? And he knew that if he took Sarah as he was somebody, the plagues, I mean, it would have destroyed his kingdom, amen? He knew, and he said to Abraham, he says, get out, take her with you, and take all the camels and all the servants, just get out, amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What happened there? God saw him through, amen? God took him. Abraham lied. Amen. He lied where? His thoughts. Amen. Is on here. He didn't lie. He was still following God. Amen. He lied and he did something because he was afraid. But he was still following God. Amen. He was just thinking for that moment to protect himself and his wife. Amen. God saw him through. He saved him. God stepped in and saved Abraham. Amen. Just like, and I'm telling you, and you don't have to raise your hand, but just like I can tell you at all the times in your life where God stepped in and saved you where you never thought you deserved to be saved, amen? He kept you from getting in trouble where you might have done things in your life where you probably could have been in somewhere that you don't want to be, amen? You could have been sicker than you are today. Maybe whatever you were doing, but God pulled you through, amen? By the grace of God, there I go. Have you ever heard that expression? God knows your heart. He knows who you are. He didn't punish Abraham because he understood that Abraham was still following him. Amen. But there are times in our lives where we're in places and doing things. Miss Pat, we talked about this last Sunday. Where you're doing things or saying things or in places that you know God does not want you to be in. Amen. You're doing places. You're talking to people. You're saying things. Whatever it is you're doing, you know God doesn't want you to be there. And he pulls you away very gently and takes you back and puts you back in the straight. Amen. Because he knows your heart. He saved Abraham right there. Pulled him away. And Abraham got blessed, and those people that he left said, phew, that was pretty good. Hallelujah. He was leaning on his own understanding. Do we fail God? We fail God. Amen. But our hearts are right, amen? When you fail God, that means you're thinking too much, right? You're putting too much of the world back in your head. You're thinking, well, I don't like that, but your heart. When you start to talk like that, I guarantee you that somewhere along the way, your heart gets sad. You start to realize in your heart, I'm not where God wants me. I know that God would just do something different in my life if I just follow him, amen? That's the difference, hallelujah. We are a work in progress. Miss Pat, we are a work in progress. The Bible says he is the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen. So as we walk through the journey, he's carrying us through. And he understands the places where you don't have enough faith. And he picks you up and he carries you right through. And he understands when you fail at times. And he picks you up and he carries you right through and puts you back where you belong. Amen. Hallelujah. Because the Bible said that God cannot deny himself. You know what that means? He's promised you something. and your believers. Amen?
Amen.
And he's going to prove his word to who? So he's got to prove his word. He cannot deny himself. Hallelujah. Then Abraham went up from Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him to the south. Abraham was very rich in livestock. You understand that? Did you hear that? Abraham was very rich in livestock. If somebody tells you to be a Christian, you have to be poor. Say, you've never read the Bible, have you? Abraham was very what? Y'all want to be rich? You feel like that's unchristian-like? Why? Why wouldn't God want to bless you? Amen? He was rich in livestock. He was rich in silver and in gold. And he went on his journey from the south as far as Bethel, to the place where his tent had been in the beginning. Listen to this. He went to where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, to a place of the altar which he had made there at first. I told you, you make altars in different places. Make them at work, whatever. Why? You just heard why. It's an altar of remembrance, Joe. An altar of remembrance. He went back and he saw that altar. What we all need to start doing. You need to go back sometimes and you say, well, God got me through this before. Amen. You got a bad report from the doctor. Say, wait a minute. I remember this altar. This is where I prayed when I was sick and God got me through. Amen. Oh, I needed a job. And I remember. There's my altar for the job. And God got me through. Amen. An altar of you between you and him. You need to go somewhere and have a place that when you see it, you remember that you built an altar there because you needed who? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. When you see it, it reminds you of the journey. You don't give up. Amen? You don't give up. A renewing of your love and realizing that you need God in your life. With God, there is always more. Can you say that with me? With God, there's always more. The more you see him in your life, the more you allow him to prove his word to you, the more you want him, the more you know his word is true. His love is true. The more you want that for those you love, family, friends, and even those who have been against you in life, because you know they too will be blessed. The more you see God in your life, the more you see the good of God in your life, the more you see the changes in your family, the more you see your prayers being answered, the more you see that, the more you what? Want. How could you want for any less? And the more that you want, the more you're going to reach for. You're going to go for that light. Amen?
Amen.
Changing your home, changing your family, changing your friends, and those who you brought in to believe, those people that you talked to, you shared a word with, you changed their world. Amen? Until we change the world. Give him praise. You're called to change the world.